Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Curiosity is one of those values I think we're born with, but our society and our world tries to beat out of us. And I don't think that's a modern phenomenon. I think that's been true for a long time. You know, we warn children, don't do that, you'll get in trouble. Don't do this. Take the safe road. Be cautious. In fact, we even have a saying, curiosity killed the cat, to make sure that we don't think curiosity is a very valuable thing. And I'll admit, you can be overthink curious and not pay attention, and I'm not saying that, but I'm saying the opposite is just as deadly as being too curious. Without curiosity, there is no joy. There is no sense of discovery. There is nothing to kind of grow into. Life becomes very dull, and it becomes inward focused. Becomes practicality. What works today? What works now? It's the sense of curiosity and discovery that I believe is one of the great gifts of God throughout the Scriptures, and is especially true of the gift we have in Christ, that we lose, or we beat out of each other, or we take away from ourselves when we grow up. And I'm here to tell you, we need to be curious. And I think curiosity is the great gift. I don't know about you, I'm 64 plus years into this, and I'm still curious. I'm still discovering. I'm still finding new things. And you may be asking, well, what does that have to do with today's lesson? I think everything. Because I think that's what drove the wise men. I think it's what drives the story of Epiphany is curiosity. Because if you think about it, this whole idea of these, and we again, and we set down Glenfold's service, we don't know the number. We like to say three wise men, but it doesn't say anywhere the number. There are three gifts, but we don't know how many of these magi came. Probably coming from somewhere like Iraq or Iran, because the kind of things like the horoscopes and the whole looking at the sky thing was very big in their religion. So they would have been the ones sort of pondering and thinking these things. You're talking about a year or two journey. Very costly journey, a very dangerous journey over rough terrain. And things in the Middle East weren't much better in those days than they are today, with lots of warring people and people not too kind necessarily to strangers who came through their land, especially bearing rich gifts like gold and frankincense and myrrh were. And yet they went. Yet they went. Isn't it interesting that they picked up and went? I talked about that a little bit at Christmas. They went because they were curious. Now, they sort of were a strange mix, the magi of the day. Because they were sort of a part Miss Cleo and part Stephen Hawking. You know, sort of a astrology and astronomy bind into one, because we didn't have a science of astronomy. They started studying the stars and the skies, not only because they were just curious, but because they were curious about what that would tell them about what was going on in the world. They saw signs and portents. Now, I do not believe in astrology. I look at my horoscope every now and then, a horrible scope as I call it sometimes, just kind of curiosity again, because okay, it's kind of funny, because every now and then it happens to hit, though most of the time it doesn't. But they did. They thought that was significant, what they saw. And so they were curious about it, and that led them on a journey. I think that's a reminder to us, another part of curiosity, we don't want to dampen the curiosity of other people. We may not agree with them about faith, and issues related to God. I don't know that anybody here is really big into astrology. I hope not, because I probably just offended you. But that doesn't mean that their curiosity about that can't be a curiosity that God cannot use to lead them toward the truth. He did it with these wise men. God didn't make it a pronouncement, this is not real, this stuff in the stars. No. He took their curiosity and led them with it, and led them to the Christ child. So maybe part of our curiosity is to allow others to be curious. Not always to correct them. Be able to say, well, that's not where I am. But what about that is interesting to you? Because you never know what road, once you start down on, you may go. And we really don't know what they went after. When it says star, in both the Greek and the Hebrew that these things are taken from, that means anything in the sky. I mean, they weren't that precise because they didn't need to be precise. They'd see a comet, that's a star. They'd see some planet in the sky, that was a star. You know, everything in the sky at night was a star. But something strange happened. A lot of people have speculated, was it the two planets maybe coming alignment? Was it a comet? Was it actually a star, maybe a supernova, a planet? The solar system being destroyed? Who knows? But whatever it was their curiosity about them that was the avenue by which God picked up their feet and made them move. So this day, what are you curious about? What are you kind of waiting to see? Are you open to being new things happening? New discoveries, new ideas, new things about people that we may have labeled in different ways. I'm sure the people of Iran and Iraq, assuming that's where they came from, probably weren't that keen on Judeans, but these, whoever number they were, saw it and they went. Was it practical? I'm sure there are people whispering here, look at the crazy wise guys going across the desert and over the mountains and through all the stuff that they had to. They're wasting their fortune. They're wasting their time. It's not practical. And yet they went. The curiosity in them was stronger than the practical cost of their trip. May we never get so practical, so unopen, that we allow those things in life that we have to pay attention to that are practical from that which is the curious, the unusual, the unknown, because that's where God seems to operate. Read the Bible. God always keeps showing up in the wrong places at the wrong times to the wrong people according to practical terms. Because God is always leading us into new adventures, new discoveries, new ways of doing things. And they went. Now, you can tell these guys were rubes, in a sense, or new guys in town, because they marched in Jerusalem and announced, we're looking for the new king. That was not a good idea. Because Herod was the exact opposite of curiosity. Herod was very much practical. What works? What's now? He was willing to kill his children, according to history, to keep his throne. He was not into curiosity. He was into looking inward and protecting himself. And yet, God used even that in Herod, because that's how the wise men found where to go to Bethlehem in Judea. That's where the prophets say it's supposed to be. Now, Herod, of course, muddles the whole thing by trying to find out where they are, and that's another story in Scripture. He's willing to kill the whole children of Bethlehem in the town, 2 years and younger, we find a little later in Matthew, in order to protect his reign. His curiosity is not very good, but the wise men take what he said, and they go. They didn't even let a Herod get in their way. Even the reality of harshness and violence and destruction, which Herod represents in this story, did not deter their curiosity. It did not overcome it. The darkness did not overcome the light. God found a way to get those magi there. And when they got there, it doesn't say in the story, but I bet they were disappointed. Come on. They were looking for a king and a palace. They were looking for something great. They find two poor parents and a child. Maybe even a year or two old. We don't know. You notice he has a house. At least Jesus has a house by this point in the story. And it says they entered the house. But whatever it was, they didn't even let that practicality, that reality get in their way. They were so curious. They recognized, because they were open to it, God's imprint, and they got down on their knees and paid homage to this child. Maybe still in a manger. Maybe he's just a young infant. Maybe a young child. We don't know what exactly Jesus' age was. But none of the circumstances matter. Because their curiosity had driven them, they were open to discovering something new. And they got down on their knees. Now that's two things. One, it's a sign of respect when you get down on your knees for something. That's why we used to kneel in church back in the days we all had knees, you know, to do things like that. But the other reason we did that is what C.S. Lewis reminded us, that when we stand up and look down on the world, we feel superior. But when we assume the role of a child and get down to a child's level, which is what they're doing, isn't that remarkable? They got down to the child's level and looked him in the eyes. Then they saw the world as children. Unfortunately, children still see the world with a certain amount of wonder and excitement, especially very young children, again, before we beat it out of them. I hope not, but whatever way we do. And C.S. Lewis says maybe we need to kneel, because when we kneel, we look up and see. We don't look down and judge. And that's what happened. They didn't make a judgment about this child. They got down on their knees, offered their gifts, looked through the eyes of a child, were full of wonderment. And even when the reality appears to them in this dream that Herod's about to do something evil, even that evil doesn't deter them. They continue on their way, but by another road. And that's also interesting, isn't it? That we may start out on one road, but God may take us home another way. That is, our curiosity may get us in a little bit of trouble. As the wise men were getting in a little bit of trouble here. It may be very impractical to do so. It may not even make a lot of sense. But when we follow where God leads us, we're left with wonder, amazement, discovery, and learn new paths to travel in life. So these astrologers / astronomers, strangest people you could think of that God would choose to reveal himself to in the world, become the first of those from outside that inner circle who learn about Jesus and get to celebrate. So this day, when we leave this building, when we head out into a troubled world, a world that tells us to be practical, a world that tries to beat curiosity out of us, will we be filled with God's Spirit to be curious? Curious to discover where God may lead us. Curious to see in the eyes of others the face of the Christ child. Curious to discover and grow and take risks for the kingdom. Curiosity. It's what we need. It's what I hope we all feel this day, whatever our ages are. What wonder will God show us if we are not so cynical that we fail to see? Amen.